Have you guys seen what's happening in the news right now?
Well, Mackenzie, I tell you what, I've gotten a lot of emails and text messages about this issue.
This is really hitting home. We're going to show you a couple clips right now.
The countdown is on to a once-in-a-lifetime total eclipse.
Total solar eclipse.
Total solar eclipse.
On April 8th.
On Monday, April 8th.
This could be one of the biggest events of the decade on April 8th.
There is a solar eclipse that is coming to the United States of America.
This is an experience beyond all experiences. You can't prepare yourself properly for what this is like.
This is a little bit different. Why is that? Because it goes over seven cities in the United States that have the same name. What is it? It is the name? Nineveh. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you, friends.
Okay, so this is really interesting. And I want to welcome Don here. He's joining me for this set of presentations because he has some very firsthand experience with some of the things that we're going to be covering in these couple episodes.
Thanks for having me, Mackenzie.
Thank you. So what is this talking about here, this April 8 eclipse?
Well, I think that what we should look at is what the Bible has to say and why there's so much excitement about this. The Bible does mention that the things in the heavens are to be used for signs.
Okay. So just like Don said, we're going to show you this from Genesis 1, verse 14. And Don, could you read this for us and maybe give us a little insight here?
Absolutely. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." So we see here that the Bible does say that these things in the sky, the sun, moon, and stars, and whatever other objects might appear, are to be used for signs. And I guess the question that we have to ask is this eclipse that's coming on April 8 a sign? And if it is, what does it mean?
That's a very good question. You know, we have this from Jesus in Luke 21, 25 to 36. And I'm just going to read the highlighted portions. If anybody wants to read the full context, they're welcome to. But it says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." So we're talking about the current events, right?
Yes.
Connected to these signs in the sun, moon, and stars. "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Don, is this saying that when we start seeing signs in the heavens that Jesus' coming is soon?
It does, Mackenzie. And you know, these signs have been going on for quite a while, and I think we're going to talk about some of those signs that have already transpired. And then we have to look very carefully at this eclipse and see, you know, what it means, and is it part of prophecy?
Very good questions. So this says, continuing in Luke 21, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." So we have this admonition that when we see these signs, this is supposed to awaken us, right?
It is.
It's supposed to be like a warning to us.
And we can look at what's going on in the world today, and especially in North America, and we can see that really it's all about the cares of this life and having a good time. It's what it seems like.
So what are people saying in regard to this eclipse?
Well, people are saying that something of a magnitude of judgment is going to take place. See, traditionally, eclipses and comets and these kinds of things have been viewed, that is, as indicators or harbingers of change. We talked earlier about a battle that took place with Alexander the Great when he defeated the great Persian Empire. Mm-hmm. And the very day that the battle took place, there was an eclipse. And it was viewed by the Greeks or the Grecians as being a sign that they were going to be victorious. And it was viewed by the Persians as a sign that they were going to be defeated.
Wow. So this is like something that we can even look in history and kind of trace this through.
Yes, and I think we have something to show regarding that eclipse here.
Is this all coincidence? Seriously, is this all one big coincidence? April 7th is Easter. Easter is the pagans.
So this total eclipse that's happening on April 8th passes through several cities named Nineveh.
Now, there's a bunch of other parts to this as well. One of those parts is this crazy thing that it actually happens on April the 8th.
You can't make this stuff up. What does that indicate to us?
It's the sign of Jonah the prophet. It's the sign of you better repent. It's a sign of the clock is ticking. You got 40 days. You got 40 days.
40 days.
Now, Mackenzie, here's the thing.
We got 40 days.
Here's the thing. You know, we were talking about the prophecy regarding, or I should say this, the eclipse regarding the event when Alexander the Great, here's an image of this, when Alexander the Great defeated Darius III, and the eclipse happened on the day, and this event happened on the day.
Wow.
Okay? But as we look at some of the other events, the other signs in the heavens, sometimes they happen on the same day, sometimes they happen within the same year, and sometimes they happen years later. So as we look at some of these other things, we talk about, for instance, in the comet that came in 66 AD, the historian Josephus talks about that the comet hung over the city of Jerusalem like a sword, announcing its impending doom. But of course, Jerusalem wouldn't fall for another 3.5 years. But yet, the comet, the sighting of the comet was viewed as a harbinger of what was going to happen to Jerusalem.
Wow. So if we look at this specific event here with the battle of Gog and Magog, so in 331, now what I find interesting about it is that the Bible said that this battle was going to take place, right?
It
and
did.
That Alexander the Great was going to be victorious. So if we go to Daniel 8, verse 3 to 8, and we're just going to go briefly through this, but it's so clear. It says, and I'm just going to read the highlights, there was a ram which had two horns, and then the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward. And then a he-goat came from the west. The he-goat had a notable horn between its eyes. So we have these two creatures, two beasts, and ran unto him in the fury of his power, smote the ram, brake his two horns, no power in the ram to stand before him. So we have this goat, this he-goat that goes and attacks this ram, and it's this like symbols, right?
These are
figures.
Symbols, yes.
And we need to somehow understand these symbols, right? And then in verse 8 it says, and the he-goat waxed very great, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. So we have this picture here of the he-goat with the one big horn going at the ram. But the question is, how do we know what this represents?
Well, the good news is, Mackenzie, as we go forward into the scriptures in the same chapter, the Bible explains it that here, look at what it says here. The ram which thou sawest, this is in Daniel chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. And of course, here it says in the highlighted area, the rough goat is the king of Grecia.
Well, that makes it pretty simple.
It does. I like that. And so
we don't have to guess.
Absolutely. Here we have a prophecy, and it says that there's going to be this battle and that the king of Grecia is going to defeat the kings of the Medes and the Persians. And on this day, there was an eclipse.
Well, you just reference other comets, stars, and things like this. So can you give us some other examples of these things?
Absolutely. There's a prophecy in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. And this was a prophecy given by Balaam. And the wise men actually used this prophecy to find the Messiah. Notice what it says here in the highlighted. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Mm. And so this is why when the star showed up, over Judea at the time of Christ's birth, it had special interest. And of course, it was announcing that there was going to be change. And there was change, wasn't there?
There was a big change. This was signifying Jesus' arrival, right?
It was.
So we have the picture here, the star over, you know, little depiction there. And that is showing again that we have this emphasis on some of these signs, which could lead us in the direction, again, we're going to keep asking this question, are these things significant? Because we do need, we don't want to be swept away by any wind of doctrine, and we want to make sure what we're talking about is founded on truth.
Absolutely, and this is one of the reasons why so many people are excited about this, Mackenzie, because they look at these stories in the Bible, the story of Jesus, the events that happened, and there's other stories that happened about these phenomena that take place in the heavens, and so we are to look to these things as being signs.
Yes, so like you mentioned, we have this image here. This is from 66 AD, when the star or comet or...
Well, most experts say that this was actually Halley's Comet.
Okay.
And that it comes in these cycles, and it lines up perfectly with the time there at Jerusalem when the original armies of Rome came and then later came and destroyed it.
Wow. So then we have this great comet of 1843.
The great comet of 1843, it came out of nowhere. It was a really bright comet. It was even visible in the daytime. And the eyewitnesses that saw it said that the tail of the comet stretched from one side of the horizon to the other side. And of course, there was a great religious revival that was going on during the 1843 time period. And people believed that Jesus was coming soon, and they looked to this comet right here as an example that something of change was coming.
Oh, wow. So now I want to just go to Revelation, because we're seeing all these different symbols, right, mm-hmm. and signs in the heavens. But I know in Revelation chapter 6, it specifically talks about some of these signs that we're supposed to look for, and we need to identify if these things have happened, when they're coming, and things like this. So let's go to Revelation 6, verse 12 to 14. And it says, "And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." So we have three events spoken of here. And have these events taken place already?
Mackenzie, they have taken place. Now, they're sort of all lined up together here. But we will see that between each one of the events, there's a span of time. And so it starts out here with an earthquake. Lo, a great earthquake. Now, it's called the 1755 Lisbon earthquake, but it encompassed more than Lisbon. This is, of course, Lisbon, Portugal. This earthquake was believed to have been felt in an area of landmass the size of 5 million square miles.
Wow.
So even by today's, it's probably would be the largest earthquake that humans have ever seen.
Wow. This is, and like you said, this is incredible that we have these events and in their order sequentially happening just as Revelation said they would.
That's correct.
So it started in 1755, and then shortly after, in 1780, we had this incredible dark day.
That's right, Mackenzie. It was an unexplainable dark day, but as you're going to show in a few minutes here, that this dark day was actually preceded by something a short time before. What was that?
So that was preceded by an eclipse.
An eclipse, that's right. I think it was 10 days before, was it?
10 days before. And we have several articles here talking about the different eclipses that were taking place, because then we had the moon turning to blood as well.
That's correct.
And that's what this is talking about, the partial lunar eclipse, and that lunar eclipse is what caused this red blood moon.
That's correct.
To take place in 1780.
Yeah, there's been lots of speculation about what caused the darkness, but it was as dark as midnight at noontime, and that darkness lasted for an entire day, and when that darkness ended, the moon came out blood red. So just as the prophecy said.
So these things have been fulfilled. These ones specifically that we're talking about, and there's one more that we're going to mention, that is the falling of the stars.
That's in November of 1833.
And this is written about by presidents, and, you know, this is just so widely known, and it was like an American historical event that everybody knew of, maybe not so much now because it's a while ago. But Lincoln spoke about this. He wrote about seeing this event, and it was quite something to see.
It caused great religious revival and interest in end-time events because as they had been reflecting on, you know, first comes this earthquake, then comes this dark day, then the moon turns to blood, and now the falling of the stars, it seems to indicate that Jesus' coming would be soon, and this is what they believed.
So we have all these examples showing us that we should be looking for some sort of heavenly bodily events, you know, signs that are going to take place. But I know that if we have these signs, they need to be coupled with something because we have the signs in the heavens. But if we read here in Acts 2:17, and this is talking about the last days, and we believe that we are living in the last
days. Absolutely.
And it says, reading the highlight, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. On my servants and on my handmaidens, my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above. So it's like connecting these two.
It is, Mackenzie. Does it make sense that you would show signs in the heavens and then not give some kind of a prophecy to be able to understand what those signs are all about?
Well, it would make sense that God gives his message with the signs.
Absolutely. And so we should be looking for, we need to cut through all the smoke and the fog about what everybody's saying and, you know, saying, you know, we got 40 days and all this kind of thing. We really don't know, but what we do need to do is we need to go to the Word of God and we need to see this, that in the last days that God would work through giving the gift of prophecy again.
Okay. Well, that's a very big, interesting topic for sure. So we have, just as you were saying, Amos 3:7, but he revealed his secrets unto his servants, the prophets.
That's
so
correct.
You're telling me that we should be looking for signs, but not only signs, but dreams, people that have dreams and depictions of these events too, to correspond.
To help us to be able to understand what these signs are saying, because this is what the prophecy back in Acts chapter 2 says, that he's going to pour out his flesh, his spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and that there's going to be signs in the heavens. And so this is all connected.
So then my question would be, and this is going to be the question we actually leave on, and we're going to pick this up in the next episode. Have we seen people having dreams or visions about these events?
I believe that we have. And if you look at history, if you look at all the prophecies, whether it was the coming of Christ, right, and his star, was that not prophesied?
It definitely was.
Whether it was the destruction of Jerusalem, was that not prophesied?
It was.
Whether it was the defeat of the Persians by Alexander the Great, was that not prophesied?
Yes.
And so we should then look that there should be some kind of prophetic evidence to indicate whether or not this eclipse that's coming has any significance for us now.
Okay. Well, I hope you liked this first part. We just started getting into this. We're going to go in a lot more detail on what people are saying and how this could connect to us today, if this has real significance, and what are these dreams that Don is talking about. So we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you very much, Don.
You're welcome. Thank you.
See you soon.